This and other podcasts are available on the Gun Rights Radio Network, gunrightsradio.com. Podcasting freedom.
I'm hiding in Honduras. I'm a desperate man. 10 lawyers, guns, and money. This shit has hit the fan.
I'm Bob Main, and the reason I carry a gun is because I can't carry a cop. Episode 266 of the Handgun World Podcast coming right up.
Gun control, it's the best thing you can do for crooks and gangsters. I want you to have nothing. If I'm a bad guy, I'm always going to have a gun.
Sammy Gravano, convicted mob assassin.
All right, coming to you once again from the Handgun World Mobile Studio as I'm making a drive here to actually go out and see another customer and try to make a sale. I got a real job, even though this is kind of like my part-time job. I also have a real job. This episode is about holsters. Now, I've talked about holsters off and on. I don't think I've ever dedicated an actual episode to holsters. I don't think. Yeah, maybe I have, but it's always worth repeating some of this stuff anyway. I had the opportunity to interview Jason Christensen, the owner of Concealment Solutions. You've heard me and other podcasters talk a lot about his holsters. They're very, very good and very reasonably priced for what you get. Good quality for the price. But I have some thoughts to set this up that I want to discuss about why you need to have a good holster, and Jason and I will talk a little bit about that in the interview coming up, but I have some things I want to say that we didn't cover real completely in that episode. You know, I've been doing a lot of firearms training the last couple years, and I've seen people bring to class some gear that just, you know, it's a little bit marginal. And I know that there are a lot of gun manufacturers that are trying to add a little bit of value to their guns, and so they ship their guns with holsters. Now, I'm not saying those are bad holsters, but most of the time I don't see people using those for concealed carry. So I would suggest don't train with them. You have to understand, if a gun manufacturer is going to ship a holster, it's probably going to be a holster that's very cheap to make. I'm not saying it's a bad holster, but it's got to be very economical, because otherwise, if it costs too much money, it's going to really dig into the margin of their profit when they ship the gun. Most of the manufacturers that actually are shipping holsters with their guns, I find most of them, the holsters are really not all that great, especially for a training class, especially for a defensive handgun training class. And you'll hear Jason and I talk a little bit about that coming up. There have actually been documented gun accidents and accidental discharges or negligent discharges because of poor holster design. If the holster doesn't properly cover the trigger guard, or if the gun should fall out of the holster, or if the holster allows something like a piece of clothing to get inside of it and, you know, press the trigger and things like that, that's a problem. That's a big problem, and you got to really pay attention to that. But also, a lot of inferior holsters move around. Excuse me, I had to pause there to take a phone call. A lot of holsters move around on the belt, and you don't want that. You don't want one that's going to be 3 inches away from where you put it the first time, just after drawing your pistol a few times. And you want good retention. It's all part of the system, but something else that people tend to neglect are belts. The belt is just as important as the holster. Would you agree? I've seen people with a really good gun, a real good holster, and a cheap, flimsy belt that came from Walmart, and I'll tell you what, it just messes everything up. The gun doesn't stay where it is. The holster doesn't stay where it is. It's all part of your system. Jason and I are going to talk about how to select the proper system and what makes up a good system of concealed carry, which would be the belt, the holster, and the gun. And we don't talk about ammo, which is the fourth part of your system, but we do talk about belts, holsters, and guns. So, here we go. Jason Christensen from Concealment Solutions.
The forums are a great place to interact with the podcasters and other listeners to your favorite podcast. Visit GunRightsRadio.com and click on the forums button at the top of the page and sign up for your free membership. GunRightsRadio.com.
Okay, my guest this week is Jason Christensen, owner of Concealment Solutions. Welcome back to the show, Jason.
Thanks, Bob. It's nice to be back.
It's been a while.
It has. It's been a long while since I've been on your show.
Yeah, but that's good. You know, I think it was like over 100 episodes ago or something like that you were on my show.
Probably, yeah. Yeah, it's been a little bit. You've been up to lots of things. You're training now and doing all sorts of neat stuff.
Oh, trying to have fun, living the dream. That's what they say, right?
Yep, that's it.
Well, the topic I wanted to bring you on to discuss is what makes a good holster and why someone needs a good holster. And I wanted to do this because the more training I do, the more emails I get, and the more stuff I see at the range when I'm doing a class, people tend to have holsters and belts, and I want you to talk about belts. They seem to have holsters and belts that aren't quite up to snuff, and I don't want to cut down anyone's product. We're not going to do that, but right. instead we're going to talk about what is it that makes a good holster and why should you have one. So, Jason, okay. What in your mind, what makes a good holster?
Well, I think you got to think about the purpose of the holster. You know, why do we even have a holster to begin with? Why aren't we just, you know, shoving it in our waistband or in our front pocket or something like that? Because that works, you know, that carries the gun, but that's about all it'll do. So the purpose of a holster, and whether you're talking inside the waistband or outside the waistband, is to be able to effectively, you know, carry your gun with you safely. And especially where you're going to be training with it and stuff like that, you should be training with the gear that you're carrying, assuming that you are a person that does concealed carry or even open carry. So first of all, I think the most important thing is it needs to be sturdy. It's got to be solid on your belt or inside your waist. If it's flimsy and flopping around, it's defeating the purpose of why you even have it.
Well, that's a good point.
Yeah, it needs to protect the trigger guard or protect the trigger. More accidents happen when people are drawing and when people are holstering. And a lot of the time that's due, those problems come because of the holster.
Like what? What's an example of that?
Avoid the problem. So something that covers the trigger completely is critical, and then something that's sturdy but that's going to hold the gun in place are the two key things. So the materials that it's made out of, I think, is critical. It's got to be high quality, good stuff, and you can look at stuff in shops, and there's a lot of stuff out there right now that just it really is not up to standard. Even for a casual, you know, I just go to the range and plink, and I just want something to hold it on my hip. I mean, there's stuff out there that I wouldn't even recommend for that, to be honest with you. Beyond the materials and just the basics of what you want with the holster, you know, design and how the holster is designed to work and function on your belt and with your specific model gun is very important. I primarily carry inside the waist. I do both inside and outside the waist holsters, but for me, I find an inside the waistband concealed carry it suits my lifestyle better, and I'm more comfortable doing that. And one of the key things for especially an inside the waistband holster, you need to be able to reholster your gun safely using one hand. And a lot of people overlook the importance of that. That's important because if you're, you know, in a training situation, that gun's going to go in and out of your holster all day long. If your gun doesn't go into the holster very easily, it's going to slow down the process. You're not going to get the training time, and you're just going to be frustrated. And it's just it's pointless. You know, I've seen people with holsters that when you draw it, the holster closes. And the only way you're going to get your gun back in is either you reach around with your left hand or your weak hand and you open it up so you can reholster it, which now you're covering your fingers of your left hand or your hand with the barrel of the gun while you're trying to holster, which is incredibly unsafe. Or they pull the holster off, put the gun back in, and then put the gun and the holster back inside their waist, which is just pointless to me.
Well, and it's also very slow. And Jason, let me stop you there. Hold your thought for a minute, because you just said a whole lot of stuff here in the last few minutes. Let's take what you most recently said, because it's very important. A holster that stays open when you remove the gun. You know, I've lost count how many times I've seen people in my classes try to reholster, and they're sweeping their fingers. Sometimes they're sweeping their whole hand with the muzzle of the gun because they don't have a proper holster or because it collapsed. And I've even had some people that, even with a holster that does stay open, they're sweeping themselves. So you made a very good point there.
Go ahead.
No, you said you made a very good point there. Earlier you said you've seen some stuff out there that you wouldn't recommend. Now, without naming names, just describe some of the holsters that you've seen that you wouldn't recommend.
Well, I think the nylon holsters, and you know what I'm talking about, they're very soft, and they typically just have a flimsy plastic belt clip that's kind of stitched to the fabric. It's basically a glorified tube sock to carry your gun in. is all the best way I can describe them. And there's several companies that make those, and they're very popular because they're very cheap. And I don't think they serve a purpose, to be honest with you. And there may be somebody out there that you know uses it in a way that's useful. I don't know. I look at that style of holster, and I just don't see a reason for it. There's a lot of nice leather holsters out there that aren't going to stay open when you unholster when it's an inside the waistband holster. You know, and you can spend a lot of money on good quality leather holster that's even if it's stiffer when it's new, leather softens as it gets older.
Yep, it does.
And eventually they're going to start doing that unless they have a stiffener put into them. And a lot of them do now. And that's, you know, that works. So
yeah,
those are the first two that really come to mind. You know, and back to why you want to be able to reholster. Outside of training, if you get into a self-defense situation where you've drawn your gun, whether you've had to pull the trigger or not, you know, hopefully you've called 911 or somebody has because of the situation. The last thing you want is for the police to arrive when you're the one standing there with a gun in your hand.
Right.
So. And if you're futzing around because you've got to, pull your holster out, you know, and if it's a sketchy situation where maybe you're, you don't know who else is around or whatever, I mean, you don't need that distraction.
Yeah.
So that's a critical point, that a lot of people really overlook.
Well, it is. And, you know, I'm glad you brought up the nylon holsters, you know, I've seen those out there. What do you think, again, without naming names and picking on specific products, what do you think of all these holsters that get shipped out with guns when people buy guns?
You know, I have not seen one that I thought was just complete junk. I think that 99% of them are a suitable range holster. So the guy that I don't want to have to set it down on the counter, you know, one of the ranges that I shoot at, they have concrete benches, which are great because they're super durable, but they're also rough, and I don't really like, you know, if I've got a nice 1911, I don't want to sit it on that, and I could bring a towel or something else to put it on, or you know, if my gun came with the holster, I can just drop it in that and not worry about it. So I think those holsters serve a purpose. I think if you're going to shoot competition, if you're going to carry, I haven't seen one that I really felt was going to be adequate for that. There's a lot worse stuff out there.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's the old adage, you get what you pay for, is generally true. And when a manufacturer is including something with the product, they're typically not going to throw in, you know, the latest, greatest high ticket item. They want to put something in there that's nice and eye catchy, that serves a purpose, but that they can throw in at a minimal expense.
Yeah. Now, you get what you pay for. Yeah, that pretty much is true. You know, I'm not saying that you have to, you're not saying you have to go out and spend a couple hundred dollars. There's good holsters like yours that are far less than that, that are, you know, that do the job well. One thing I want you to talk about, and that is, especially yours, the holsters you make at Concealment Solutions.
Mm-hmm.
What I like about the hybrid type that you make, and you do a great job of designing them, is they support the weight of the gun nicely. You know, people who have been keeping current with my show know that I've recently purchased a couple 1911s because I'm doing a one-year test. And, you know, if people want to know about my test and my experiment, they can go back and listen to the last episode before this one. But I found that even with an all-steel 1911, I got two of them. I got one with an aluminum frame, and I've got one that's all-steel. Even with an all-steel 1911, if you find the right carry position, the right ride height, and you use a good holster like yours, they're not hard to carry.
Yeah, and oftentimes people will look at the hybrid-style holsters because they're and not understand. They'll look at it, and a lot of people have in their head that, well, I want to go concealed, and I need to hide it, and so it needs to be small. And that's not true. You want it to have a thin profile, which mine have probably as thin or thinner profile than any others out there.
That's true.
The width of it is going to, like you said, it distributes the weight, and it also allows you to really customize the ride height, the cant that you put it on, and things like that, because everybody's different. Everybody's body type's different. Everybody, their style and the way they dress and everything else all plays into that. And if you've got a holster that tells you this is the position that you're going to carry your gun, chances are it's not going to work for you, at
least
not as well as it could. So with what we've designed, I've tried to make something that's got a lot of versatility in it. I'm always leery of a product that touts itself as being perfect, or, you know, one size fits all, or in fact, that's the reason it took me so long to finally buy a Glock, because I didn't like their marketing. I don't believe it's perfect. Now, I have a lot of guns, and I almost always have a Glock on my hip. So I don't think they're perfect, but they're pretty darn nice. But
yeah, no, they're not perfect. But, you know, you got to admit that was a great marketing theme.
It was. I don't buy into this is the one holster for everybody. And that's also why I offer, you know, a 30-day trial on my stuff, because I would much rather have somebody have a good experience with our company and not end up with our holster than me make a few bucks and they go, this didn't work for me, throw it in the drawer and I'll try something else. You know, I would rather take something back and have them, when somebody asks them about it, say, oh yeah, it didn't work for me because of this or that or the other, but they're a great company. They totally took care of me.
Well, that's a great business philosophy, Jason. That's awesome. I mean, you know, I'm glad you think that way. That's, I think that's probably one of the major requirements of a successful business, is that kind of customer service and that kind of caring about your customers.
Yeah, well, before I started this business, I spent 25 years in retail. And if you don't take care of your customer, somebody else will. So there's a line of people, no matter what you sell, waiting to take care of the customer that you don't.
Yep. That's right.
You know that, you know, being in sales, that's the way it is.
Yeah, you're right. I've been in sales for 28 years now, and you know what I find is normally when I lose to my competition, it's not always because of price or because of product features or because of me. Oftentimes when I lose to competition, it's because my company, for whatever reason, dropped the ball in taking care of that customer.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, for me, I mean, you could have the best product in the world and it will fail if your business doesn't take care of the people who use it. And vice versa, there's a lot of mediocre products out there that have very good customer service and very good marketing in addition, and they're successful because of that. My whole purpose is to have an exceptional product with exceptional service, and that's been our goal right from the beginning, and it pays off, you know.
That's, yeah.
You know, that's I think what everybody tries to do, and we get distracted by dollars and cutting corners and stuff like that. So I've determined to not do that with my product or my service. So
yeah, that's great. Something else I want you to address, Jason. I've talked about this a lot, but I want to get your opinion on it. I talk about what's called a concealed carry system, and I didn't make that up, but it's a system. Everything works together, the gun, the holster, but something else that we haven't talked about that you make pretty well, and that is the belt.
Yeah.
Talk about how important the belt is.
Well, I always tell people that the holster is only as good as the belt you hang it on. So you could buy, you know, one of my holsters, you know, the perfect custom fit, whatever holster you pick out there, and if you hang it on a $10 Walmart belt, it's not going to function the way it should or the way it could. The belt is the support system. It's like the foundation to your house. You can build a great big gorgeous house, and if it's not on a good foundation, the house is going to fall apart. And that's kind of the same way with a belt and a carry holster. And you can go to extremes. I'm always shocked at people that I've had people with 2-inch belts.
Wow.
You know, and I'm like, are you kidding me? or every now and then I get somebody who says, well, your belt clips don't fit my belt. I'm like, what do you mean they don't fit? How wide's your belt? Well, it's only 1.5-inch belt. Okay, how does it not fit? Well, it's my belt's too thick. I'm thinking, my gosh.
Holy cow.
Yeah. I mean, my clips have plenty of space for a good thick belt. And so sometimes people, I think, overthink it. You need a good solid platform, and there's a few things that we offer. Personally, I like our horsehide line belts. It's the same leather that we use on our holster backs, the same cowhide, and then the back of it has a piece of horsehide that's stitched to it. Horsehide's nice and stiff and still remains relatively thin, so you're not getting a ton of bulk, but you're getting that support that you need to when you're carrying the gun.
Right.
The downside to those, they're a little spendy. They're $100, which is tough to swallow. So because of that, we've got other options. Our most popular belt is our Kydex line belt.
Yep.
So it's, again, the same cowhide on the face. And all the leather that we use is, I mean, I've seen a lot of people use the term premium leather, and I don't know how they can sleep at night. But our stuff is literally, it's about as high quality as you can get. It's all made right here in the United States from U.S. tanneries and stuff like that. So it's not the junky, you know, Mexican stuff that's been tanned in horse urine and stuff like that. You think I'm kidding?
You're not kidding, are you?
No, I'm not. Anyway, so you get the cowhide face, and then there's a kydex stiffener sandwiched between another piece of leather that's stitched to the back of it. And that allows for exceptional support and stability when you've got a gun hanging off of it. Those are 75, and those, we move quite a few of those. I do have just a double sick cowhide belt also that are $50, and they're okay. If you're not on a super tight budget, the kydex belt is a whole lot better.
I have two of them. They're great.
Yeah. So, you know, like I said, it's, if you feel like when you're out carrying, if you feel like you're always pulling at your pants, it's typically not the holster that is the problem. It's the belt. And you don't have to have it super, super tight either. I mean, it's got to be snug, but it doesn't have to be squeezing the life out of you to support a gun.
You still have to breathe.
So, yeah, exactly. So, you know, getting a decent carry rig, you know, system like you said, with a belt and a holster, and then, I mean, we could go on and on for days if we wanted to talk about different clothes and stuff like that.
Yeah, no.
We won't go there today.
I don't think we'll go there today. No, we don't have time for that.
But you know, dollar wise, I think for the combination, you're probably going to spend between $100 to $200. Is kind of a ballpark to get a decent belt and a decent holster, and you can spend a lot more than that. I would say $100 for the pair is probably, if you found some good deals out there, I think that's probably realistic. What do you think?
Yeah, I would say, yeah, spend a couple $100 on the holster and belt combo.
Right.
You know, and that's probably including tax and shipping. I mean, your Black Mambas, how much is your Black Mamba?
They're $69.99.
And then how much are your Kydex?
The Kydex belts are $75.
Kydex line belts. Now keep in mind, those are Kydex in the inside of the belt.
Right.
And the outside is leather. So they're how much?
We had it stitched to the backside of it, and the Kydex didn't hold up as well, and it wasn't as comfortable. The stuff we're doing now is far superior to what we originally started off with.
How much did you say your Kydex belts are?
$75.
Okay, so 75 and about 70 for your holster. So that's 145 plus tax and shipping. That's well under $200.
Right. Yeah.
And I want to say something about that. You know, I recently did a show here recently where I talked about people that kind of cheap out on stuff once in a while.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're talking about life-saving equipment here.
Yeah.
You know, we're talking about life-saving equipment. Why would you want to cheap out on life-saving equipment? I'm always amazed, Jason. I see people that spend $500 or $600 on a gun. I mean, think about it. If you go out and buy a new third-generation Glock 19, it's going to cost you over $500. Even if you buy, if you buy a Walther PPQ, or even if you buy a Smith & Wesson M&P or an XD, they're all going to be over $500, and then they buy a $29 holster and a $17 belt to go to conceal carry with and to train with, and it just doesn't work.
No, it's just like going down to the Porsche dealer and spending, you know, $100,000 on the sweetest, latest, greatest performance car, and then going to Walmart and saying, I want the cheapest tires you have for my car.
Yeah.
And then wondering why you can't corner and why it doesn't stay on the road.
That's a great analogy.
You know, that's the way it is. And I've seen people come into my shop who have luckily finally seen the light, that have a $1,200 1911 in a nylon holster.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. And I'm like, are you kidding me? Why? You know, you spent that much money on the gun and you wouldn't spend, you know, $60-$70 on a decent holster. You know.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, and those people are the ones that are the easiest to impress when they put one of mine on.
And
oh,
you know,
my gosh.
Yeah, it does. It impresses them. And you know, something I want to add to that, Jason.
Uh-huh.
I've seen this in my training classes. If you don't have a good holster, sometimes it doesn't stay where you put it. And
yes, you
might put the gun in one spot on your body, and after five or six draws, it moves a couple of inches. And that's a big deal, and I'll tell you why that's a big deal. First of all, it makes me nervous when I see that, because then I wonder if the holster's going to have enough retention to safely hold that weapon in place.
Right.
It's a safety issue, first of all. A holster moving around is a safety issue. Second of all, though, you expect that gun to be where you put it if you ever have to draw your gun to defend your life. And I can't think of a more critical second in time when you have to draw that gun to defend your life. You want that gun to be in the exact same place that you put it, because that's where you practice and you know it to be.
Yeah, exactly. Imagine if your fire extinguisher moved around on the wall or changed rooms.
That's a good point. Yeah.
You know? It doesn't do you a whole lot of good if it's not where you put it.
Exactly. And there's all kinds of really good ways, you know, to keep a holster on a belt. Your clips are great. You know, there's all kinds of, you know, other holster makers have other inventive ways and things like that. But I find that the real economical holsters, the ones that are built to meet a price point, and even some of those that are shipped with firearms, they don't always stay put. Sometimes they move around. And talk about retention. Why is retention important?
Well, same thing. If it's not where you put it, you know, the worst thing that can happen is, especially if you're concealed carrying and you know, you're sitting at the movie theater, sitting at dinner, and you stand up and your gun's on the floor, that's a bad day.
Yeah, that's a bad day.
So, you know, and not to mention, you know, if you get into a physical altercation and you're getting knocked around, you know, you want it there when you need to go for it.
You want it to be in that spot, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And there's lots of different ways, to get retention. You know, there's people that like to have a mechanical retention, and that's fine. You know, with my stuff, primarily it's you tweak the Kydex a little bit to get the fit that you want, and that's the one thing I really like about Kydex is it's easy to adjust.
Now, for people who are not familiar with your holsters, I want people to know that primarily what Jason makes are hybrid holsters, meaning you've got the comfort of the leather up against your body, but you have the retention and the fast draw of the Kydex. And I got to say, Jason, your holsters are a fast draw.
Yeah. You get it set up right. And it may take a week or two of playing around with the adjustments and everything to get it where it's working for you. But once it's there, yeah, they're a fast draw. They're an easy reholster. You know, they're comfortable. You'll forget they're there.
They are comfortable. I'll attest to that. I think I've had I got a Black Mamba for several guns, and I also have what you used to call the Micro Mamba. Now you call it what?
No, originally it was the Sidewinder.
Oh, originally, yeah. Now it's called the Micro Mamba.
The Micro Mamba was more fitting for it because all it is a miniature version of the Black Mamba. And I had developed the outside the waistband, which needed a name, and
yeah,
then became the Sidewinder. So it created a tremendous amount of confusion for people for a little while.
Yeah.
But it was early on, and I think we're mostly over that now. So.
Well, I have one of those, and it's great. But, yeah, the comfort of your holsters, it's outstanding. You have some announcements you want to make.
Well, yeah, since we're talking about Sidewinders, we have a new one that I've been working on for a while. I was hoping to have it released in December before Christmas, and then I bumped that date back to the end of January, and we're basically just waiting on tooling, so that once we're ready to go, we can stamp leather out and produce them quicker and with less expense than if we were hand doing everything. But it's a play on the same Sidewinder, which is a very minimalist kind of a slider holster. It's just going to be bigger, and it's going to answer a lot of the concerns that people had with it. The leather is going to completely cover the barrel of the gun as well as the Kydex. So the bottom of half of your gun is completely enclosed in the holster. And then there's also going to be a sweat guard that comes all the way up the slide. And what that sweat guard is going to allow us to do is offer a thumb break as well. So for, like we said, for some people that like to have a mechanical retention or, you know, if you're a police officer and you it's required, we can put a thumb break on there. So that's coming out. I've been working on another one that will have, snapping belt loops also, but we've run into some design issues with that I'm not happy with. So that one's going to have to be a little bit later. So anyway, hopefully next month we'll have that new Sidewinder out.
Good.
And it's pretty cool, and I think a lot of people are really going to like that one. We are sticking our toes in the training pool.
What are you doing as far as training?
I am not a firearms trainer. I'm a safety officer, but I wanted to venture into that field a little bit, and the way I'm doing that is by setting up courses with people who are trained that have the knowledge that I don't have. So in April 18th and 19th, we are bringing Daniel Shaw out from Gunfighter Cast and Thunderbird Tactical. He's coming out. We're doing a 2-day carbine course.
It'll nice.
They're Carbine Vitals 1 and 2. And that is, if you go on to Thunderbird Tactical and go onto the calendar and look up those dates, you can pull up the class. It'll tell you what the curriculum will be and the cost and everything. Register now if you're interested, because we've only got about 14 spots, and at least a third of those are already full.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's great. So you got Daniel Shaw coming out. That's going to be great. A 2-day carbine course. That sounds awesome.
And I will be a student in the course.
That's good.
It'll be the first time I've taken a course with a rifle. So I'm a total newbie when it comes to long guns. And I'm excited about being able to take the class and coordinate everything and get it done. So,
well, that's okay.
There'll be more of that in the future. Maybe we can get you guys to come out for class and do something too. That would be fun.
Yeah, we might do that. You know, we can, let's look at it. Maybe we'll get, you know, Ben and I might be able to come out to Utah and do something up there.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, I'll say it's possible. I got to check with Ben, look at his schedule. I know we're thinking about doing one more traveling class in 2014, so maybe that'll be one of them. Most people know right now we got Seattle and Arkansas on the books.
Right.
And
I saw that.
Yeah. Well, so you're about a third full for that class already?
I think so. Daniel's taking care of that aspect of it. I'm getting the range and the facilities and everything else coordinated and everything. We've got I think 100-yard and a 400-yard range set aside for the date. So we'll be able to practice some long shots and everything else that he's got planned for us.
I'm glad to hear you've decided to start training with your rifle. What rifle are you going to run?
Well, originally, I was gonna run my SIG M400, Recently I just purchased an IWI Tavor.
Ooh, no, you did, huh? Oh, man.
And I'm thinking that may be, I'll bring both of them. Every time I go to a course, I bring at least one backup gun in case I have issues with the one I'm running. But yeah, I think that's probably the one that I'm going to run.
You're making me jealous. I want an IWI Tavor.
I haven't even had a chance to shoot it yet, but everything about it. See, I shoot left-handed because I'm left eye dominant with a long gun, and I was looking at it and wanted it, and I went, okay. There are a couple things I had to have. First of all, I had to take AR mags because I wasn't gonna buy, you know, $80 proprietary magazines for some weird gun.
Right.
And it had to be able to eject out the left and be set up for left-handed. And as you, I'm sure, know, that gun is completely ambidextrous. You can set it up so that the charging handle's on the right side, the safety's on the right. I'm waiting for my you do have to change the bolt inside for it to eject out the left.
But you can do that. You can make it eject out the left, right?
Right. Yeah. So after I figured all that out, I decided it's destiny. I have to have it.
You just got to have one of those, don't you?
Yeah. So I picked that up and I just put a aim point micro on it as well.
Very nice.
I was out shooting the other day with one of our local SWAT teams, and they say, hey, you guys want to try some stuff? And so they pulled out some full auto Glock 18 and a 10-inch barreled HK AR, and then they pulled out the MP7, which was a whole heck of a lot of fun to shoot.
I bet
it
was.
That had that aim point micro on it, and I thought, after seeing that, I was like, that's the sight I need for this gun. Keeps everything nice and tight. And anyway.
Let us know how you like running that. Get out and practice before you take that class with Daniel.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
You know, get out and learn how that rifle runs. Don't let the class be the first time that you learn how the rifle runs.
Right. And that's going back to gear and everything. That's something that I cringe when people order something and, hey, I need it by, you know, next weekend or whatever because I've got a class I'm doing. And it's like, oh, that's a terrible way to break in a new holster.
Yeah, let me say something about that. I'm glad you brought that up, because here's something else, kind of a pet peeve of mine. You know, I've been teaching now for pretty close to 2 years, and taught a lot of classes over the last 2 years with a lot of people, so I'm blessed to have pretty good attendance. I tell you, it's amazing how many people show up and it's the first time they're trying their gear. I've had some people, it's the first time that they're shooting their gun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
I've been guilty of that one with my Glocks, but it's not the first Glock I've owned, and I kind of like pulling a Glock out of the box and running the match with it and going, see, it runs just like a Glock.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm with you on that. If you're not familiar with the equipment that you're running, especially in a class, you're not going to get as much out of the class.
Exactly. You're paying your money. You're paying your hard-earned money to take the class. Get your gear a couple of months ahead of time and practice with it.
Yeah. I mean, even if you spend, you know, an hour at the range three different times, you know, and just holster and reholstered a few times, and you know, if you can draw from the holster and shoot at your range, that's even better. But you know, you don't have to become an expert with it before you go to a class, but you just need to be familiar with it. You know, you never know what the little hangups you're going to have until you start running it, and especially if you're going to try to run it at speed. I guarantee you're going to run into some issues if you've never done it before.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, Jason, thanks. We're kind of out of time, and this was a really good place to stop. And tell people how they can find your holsters, your website, all that good stuff.
ConcealmentSolutions.com. That's the website. You can order there. We're getting more and more wholesale distributors. We've got one out in Moline, Illinois, that moves a lot of product. That's the only one out there on the East Coast or east of the Mississippi, I guess. A few here in Utah. If you're in South Africa, I've got a great dealer out in South Africa who sells a lot of stuff. But we're open to. I'd like to set up one or two more wholesale accounts. So if anybody listening is working at a shop and wants to carry some good stuff, shoot me an email, just jason@concealmentsolutions.com. I'd really like somebody in Pennsylvania. I, for some reason, ship a lot of stuff to Pennsylvania, and if somebody set up a shop out there, they've already got a customer base.
Nice. Believe it or not, Jason, I've got listeners from South Africa because I've received emails from them.
Awesome.
So
they need to look up Marius at I can't remember the name of his shop.
Well, that's okay. You know what? Email it to me. Email it to me, and I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay.
So my South African listeners can go to handgunworld.com, and it'll be in the show notes for this episode.
Cool. Yeah, he primarily specializes in CZ stuff, but his last two orders, he got really brave, and he ordered some Glock holsters. So apparently the CZs are very big over there.
Apparently so, yeah.
So
interesting. Anyway. Jason, thank you very much. Thanks for taking on your time to come on my show.
Thanks for having me. It's always fun.
Yeah, good luck.
Okay, you too. We'll see ya.
Thanks. All right, many thanks to Jason. Once again, check out his website, www.concealmentsolutions.com. That's concealmentsolutions.com. That's a pretty easy website to remember. One more thing I want to say about holsters or carry methods. Please strongly consider appendix carry. And let me tell you why. You know, last week I talked about the one-year experiment that I'm doing. I bought a couple of 1911s. One of them's an all stainless steel 1911. One of them is a aluminum frame. It's a Sig Sauer RCS 1911. One's a training 1911 and the other is a carry 1911. And I talked about all that, the one-year experiment I'm doing. I talked about that last week in last week's episode. I find I can carry a bigger, heavier gun in the appendix carry position. I can conceal in appendix carry better than I can conceal behind the hip. And I can carry a heavier gun. It doesn't seem to weight me down as much in the appendix position. So consider that. I recently picked up a G-Code Incog holster. A student that came to one of the classes that Ben and I were teaching recently, Edwin. Hey, Edwin, here's a shout-out to you. I know you're probably listening. He had one, and he let me try it. He was running his Glock 19 in it. It was either that or a Glock 26. Can't remember. So I love the G-Code Incog. I think it was pretty much designed by Travis Haley. The G-Code Incog, I-N-C-O-G. If you just Google that, I think it's tacticalholsters.com. Wow, what a well-thought-out appendix carry holster. It's my new favorite appendix carry holster. It's a Kydex holster, but they got this nice felt or fake suede on the outside, which makes it real comfy. And the way they've designed this, there's no sharp edges that dig into my body, and it conceals very well. It's a super fast draw. It's got two clips instead of one, which I really like the two-clip concept. It keeps everything much more stable, keeps the weapon a lot more stable. And it also, they have a special clip design that they have set up so that the pistol does not, it resists the pistol from rocking out over the belt, which is very common with appendix carry, especially if we have some extra material in our gut area, if you know what I mean. The way the G-Code designs these is with clips,
that are really cool. They're kind of bent, and they help hold the weapon in tight to your body. So check that out, and consider doing that whenever possible. But if you don't appendix carry, and by the way, Jason makes a good appendix carry rig. He makes the ASP, appendix-specific platform. So check out his hybrid appendix carry, the ASP, at his website. Whichever way you choose to carry, whether it's behind the hip or whether it's appendix carry, get quality equipment. And I'll pretty much wrap up the carry and the holster topic by saying that. Okay, I want to announce that the class that we are teaching with Glenn Tate and at least one or two members of the team, that class is about three quarters full. Wow, thank you for the great interest and the sign-ups. So the number of students already signed up for that, we're about three quarters full. Here it is. I'm recording this in late January. You're going to hear it in early February. The class is not till August. Wow. We can only have so many students, folks. And then, you know, we're going to have an extra safety officer, but I'm talking about even with an extra safety officer, with three safety officers. We don't want the class to get too large for safety reasons, and we also want all the students to have a good training experience. So that's only $200 to spend the day with myself and Ben Branham and Glenn Tate in the Seattle area up in Squim at Fort Discovery. Is the range. Great place. There's a bunkhouse there. The bunkhouse is only about half full. So if you need accommodations at the range, the bunkhouse is a great way to do it, and that's included in the price of the class. I think the class that we're doing in Arkansas with John Hadaway is about half full or pretty close to it already. That's a two-day class. And that's going to be probably a 700 or 800 round class, so be prepared. And John and I, if you listen to the interview that we did a few weeks ago, we talked about what we're going to be teaching there. My Suarez International class, CRG 2, Close Range Gunfighting Version 2, which is a new curriculum, including some point shooting. That is over half full. So don't procrastinate on that. Boy, I feel blessed, folks. This is terrific. That is over half full, and I'm teaching that one myself. So I'm going to have to cut that one off so that students have, once again, a good learning experience. And also, I don't want it to get too big for safety reasons. You can find all of these classes on my website. Sign-ups have already started up for our Dallas class, March 8th. March 8th, we're going up to Dallas. We're doing pistol fighting dynamics. Ben and I are teaching that. That's a one-day class up in the North Texas, Dallas-Fort Worth area on March 8th, Saturday. Check that out on my website. And we're still taking last-minute sign-ups for the night fighting class we're doing February 8th. This is going to come out on, I think, the 1st or the 2nd of February. So you still have a little bit of time left. Get signed up for our night fighting class in San Antonio. We're going to teach you how to use your pistol in self-defense at night and in low-light conditions. The Shooters Club has a new video on it. And by the way, I've added some giveaways, and I'll be announcing those next week. I've added some giveaways. So in addition to giving away my Shield 9mm pistol and a range bag and 250 rounds of ammo and a free ticket to one of our classes, I've added three more giveaways. That's a total of seven winners so far, and we're probably going to keep increasing it. So join the Shooters Club. You can see excellent videos that we produce, excellent training videos. If you can't make it to one of our classes, it's the next best thing. Click the Shooters Club page over at handgunworld.com. Thanks for tuning in, folks. I appreciate every week when you guys listen. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. I'm Bob Main. Reason I carry a gun is because I can't carry a cop. The loudest sound a shooter hears is a bang when he's expecting a click, or a click when he's expecting a bang. Shoot straight, shoot safe, and I'll talk to you next week. Goodbye.